Going into the deployment, what was the experience like?
I want to say it was one of the hardest experiences in my entire life, but also one of the best. I sat down with the four guys that I was with, just learning who they were as people first. You know what I mean? The Army will always have the job and always have the expectation of what you need to get done, right? But at the end of the day, there's people doing that job. You know, what are your interests? What do you want to do while you're out here? You know, do you have family back home? All those things really matter. Being able to support them like that, I think, makes a pretty solid team.
Welcome back to the Voice of the Guard, the official California Army National Guard podcast. In this episode, we sit down with Sergeant Joel Ament of the 40th Infantry Division as he takes us through his first deployment as a young 42 Alpha, a human resource specialist, and the challenges of returning home. As an E5 sergeant, a key leadership role, he was responsible for mission success and the well-being of his soldiers during Operation Spartan Shield. Welcome to the show, Sergeant. Can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. Yeah. Like you said, I'm here with the 40th Infantry Division in G1. For those of us who are not familiar with the G shops, G1 will be all of the HR functions. So like promotions, things like that, all the stuff to make things work on paper. We're your people. So it's pretty fun. So that's what I do, military side, civilian side. I took leave from Starbucks. I'm a coffee lover, so that makes sense. And I have a passion for fitness. That's something I do quite a bit of. Hiking, gardening, anything to get me outside, to be honest with you. I love computers, but at the same time, I love fresh air.
We love the field, don't we?
Yeah.
All right, so you're here in the 40th ID full-time, right? Mm-hmm. How are you enjoying the gig?
I love it. It's totally a dream come true. I'm learning a ton. I have a great team that I'm on. I think it's very important to surround yourself around people who challenge you, you know, but also in a place where it's not so challenging that you don't, you know, do well either. So I think it's a really good sweet spot right now, especially post-deployment. My brain is just in that mode, and I really like that.
Awesome. And talking about deployments, you were involved in Operation Spartan Shield.
Yes. Yeah, so we left, we left Los Alamitos on a plane. I left on June 10th, I believe, June 10th or 11th, and then we came back in April of last year. So it's almost been a full year, which is just crazy to think.
Time flies. And did you go in as E5 or E4 into that deployment?
So I actually promoted into the division as an E5. I promoted in 2022, so I had a little bit of time to kind of learn the roles of a E5 sergeant in the 42 Alpha world. I didn't think I was actually going. I hadn't got the COVID vaccine. And so I was trying to learn, okay, where's my role, you know, as far as being able to deploy. And I was told, no, you're not deploying for a little while. And which was understandable, right? That was just the rules at the time. And telling people, yeah, I'll see you guys when you get back. And then that's when the guidance changed. And I remember my first sergeant saying, you're going. And so that just kind of shifted gears, because normally people know you're deploying for a while, you know, so was a shock.
The time interval when they told you were going and you actually went, how short was that?
January to June.
January to June. Mm-hmm. So a couple months to prepare.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Going into the deployment, what was the experience like being an NCO?
Oh, man. I want to say it was one of the hardest experiences in my entire life, truthfully, but also one of the best. Not even just from a sergeant standpoint, you know, learning what it means to be an NCO, but also just as a human being. I was given a role in the S1, which is basically your 42 Alpha human resource function for an entire battalion. Our battalion is very unique that we kind of operate like a brigade. So we're kind of wearing a couple hats there. And so you can imagine there's just a lot of things flowing through our office. And we had a brand new lieutenant as far as like 42 Alpha World goes. He had just finished school. We had a sergeant first class who had never been in the S1 shop before.
Wow.
But, and that's, that can happen in the 42 Alpha world, right? There's so many different functions. So they were both learning, I was learning, and then all of our junior enlisted, I had never worked with them before. So we were an entirely brand new team. So there was a lot of growing, a lot of learning where you stand as far as you have a role that's somewhat of an authority role, right? Where you have a say in things or how you want to implement things, but also learning how to take things from higher and really learn their intent so that you can push it down. Right. And that was a learning curve. And so we kind of like go for it, but it's very, very important, I would say, to learn and really ask good questions. Like, what do you actually need? How do you need it from me? And be able to build that rapport too, you know, because you're with each other for days on end. I think something that helped me was I sat down with the four guys that I was with. They're great. We learned a lot together, but just learning who they were as people first. You know what I mean? The Army will always have the job and always have the expectation of what you need to get done, right? But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, there's people doing that job. And so I found it really helpful to kind of sit there. We spent like a solid hour. You know, what are your interests? What do you want to do while you're out here? You know, do you have family back home? All those things really matter when you start picking up on little behaviors. You know, are they okay today? They're acting, you know, not their normal self, if we even call it normal, because we think it's what their normal is. It's just their consistent pattern, you know? And right. Being able to support them like that, I think, makes a pretty solid team.
So when things got a little difficult, would you say that getting to know your team kind of alleviated those challenges that you guys would see?
I want to lie to you and say yes. In a way, yes. Personally, no. And I think that might be just my personality, that I took everything as like, it's on me to make sure they're okay. You know, so everything felt very, very stressful. Because while it was a new deployment for them, I've been in longer. I've been in for 5 years at that point, right? So like, I kind of knew when crap hits the fan, you know, I hadn't been deployed before, but I definitely had it where people would all of a sudden need something right away. Or there's these massive deadlines where you're staying till 1 a.m, which we did quite a bit, you know, and for them that was new. So trying to kind of protect them from the certain stresses, I think maybe made their lives a little bit easier, but it's worth it to me, you know, so I'm going to say no. For myself, no. If there's conflict, sometimes you just need to take a nap.
Right.
Go eat some food, go work out. It's probably nothing personal, to be honest with you.
And it's such a normal thing, too, out here.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you just need a little space, mm-hmm. kind of get your bearings back together, and then right into the deep end we go. During those times, what did you do to kind of just cope with it? Other than the nap or going to some food.
Well, I didn't sleep much, but what did I do? I'm an overthinker, right? So I already kind of planned, Joel, you need a structure. Regardless of what the deployment throws at you, have maybe like 3 checkpoints in the day that you know belong to you. And so what I did, and that honestly, that kept my stress level pretty even keel. That they were just like non-negotiables for me. So in the morning, I'd get up early and I would go to the coffee shop there and I would read. I'd read a book I was interested in. I would write quotes that I had highlighted in a separate book. And that just kind of helped me frame my mind for the day and mm-hmm. feel more like a, not so much a soldier, but just a person, you know? So that kind of will really lower your stress. And then, so that was like, okay, checkpoint one, right? Checkpoint two was lunch, because you know you're gonna get some interaction with people outside of your section, right? Whether you have a section lunch or you have, you're in a big mess hall, right? Yeah. So you can kind of go sit with whoever and catch up a little bit. see how their experiences are. You know, did they go on an exercise, go do something cool?
Here I thought it was going to be the food.
Oh, no. I mean, the food was pretty good, not going to lie.
Okay.
Yeah, the food was good. There's this guy, his name was Ram, and he knew everybody's order. He was the chopped chicken line guy. And we'd be like, hey, Ram, how you doing? He'd be like, hey, so-and-so, you want two chickens or three or whatever? And it's pretty fun to learn the different mess hall people, you know? And they're all from different countries, too. So you could ask them, like, how you doing? And they would tell us, oh, yeah, we just, you know, took vacation to see our family back in India or Philippines, whatever. So that was pretty cool. And then checkpoint three for me was the gym. So as soon as I was done with work for the day, whether I had eaten or not or slept or not, no matter how crazy work was, I would even leave, go work out, and sometimes come back to work. But I made sure those were my three things. I can't give them up. And that I think is a really good way that I coped.
Can we say a drill sergeant would shed a tear?
Yeah, right? My food tastes better when my heels are together.
And then we go for a quick workout,
yep,
and that's the end of the day. Oh, man. Yeah, no, it sounds like a vast experience, just being young, getting those stripes, being in charge of people, just right off the deep end, just one thing by the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
So returning, what was it like coming back?
Oof, I think returning was harder than the deployment, to be very honest with you. And that's probably a common thread you'll hear if you ask people. You're probably wondering why. I can say, so like get this, right? You're living in this little space. So like this room we're in is probably maybe 11 feet wide by like 20 long, right? You're living in a barrack where this space would probably have at least 6 beds, right? And you make your own little home, you know, and it feels like home because you've spent so much time there and you've spent so much time with just somebody else in the room. And so depending on what your home life is, whether you have a family or not, or a spouse or whatever, significant other, just that proximity of people who know what you're going through because they're there, and then all of a sudden it's gone, poof. And it's like, okay, well, I come back to home, quote unquote, but it doesn't feel like home because we've been in our home
the entire time.
And I can give you an example that before you leave, so it's kind of crazy, right? Like you gear up to MOB, so there's all this movement, right? And you're switching barracks, whatever. Then you're working, and then you're starting to demob. It's like a 3-month process. So everybody's in that frame of mind. Well, part of that process is clearing out barracks. So about a month out before you leave theater, they call it, you move barracks. So many of us were cranky and felt like, what just happened? Because we moved our home. And now all of a sudden you're double bunked again. You don't have your normal little area because you've probably sold stuff like your little fridge or little lamp you had or whatever. You hung something on the wall. It's all gone. Now you're just living out of duffel bags for a month. And that it kind of disturbs you. And then you move to Texas and you're there for however long living in out of your bags again. And then all of a sudden you're just plopped at home. Hello.
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that. And your family, I don't have a family other than like extended family, right? I'm not married. But just, you're not all there yet. You know, emotionally, you're just kind of like, okay, well, I just moved again. You know, this is probably the fourth or fifth time I've moved in the past 9 months. Right. So it doesn't feel like anything. So it's very hard. A good amount of people, I just spent quiet time to myself. I just needed to breathe, you know. And I had friends who, you know, we all were tempted to drink alcohol. You know, I didn't, because I know there's people in my family who have destroyed their lives with alcohol, so I just was like, nah, I'm cool. But I gained like 15 pounds. Mr. Gym guy gained 15 pounds just eating out, because I didn't even remember how to cook for myself. You're used to all your food, right? And now all of a sudden it's overwhelming. You have to plan, oh my gosh, I need to go to a grocery store.
It's no longer just work.
It's no longer just work. I have all these other functions. And so me as a single person, imagine somebody with a family. here's the baby back, here's your wife that you need to give time to, or your husband, or whatever. It's stressful. You know, Chaplain Grazer, I think you've maybe met him.
I believe so.
He's upstairs too during drill weekends, but he had a really good group come out, and he gave a great talk ahead of time saying, you might want to establish a plan. I think he almost said you should establish a plan, but I'm not going to quote him. You know, he's his own person. But more or less, like, talk with your friends, talk with your spouse, talk with your family about how it's going to be hard for you to come back, and can you maybe set some either timelines or, like, let's set specific time, just me and you, even with your friends, to catch up. Mm-hmm. Instead of nobody saying anything, and then it's all on you. So that was helpful. I kind of did that with some people. I initiated, like, hey, let's go spend a day together, you know? But I honestly don't think I did that great at coming back.
Did you believe it was going to be that hard?
No, not even close. I had friends telling me I've changed because I was just quiet. I ended up sleeping a lot. I think I definitely had some depression. Binged, ate a ton of fast food, you know. Just kind of trying to fill a little bit of, like, avoiding the fact that you might be stressed still. My deployment had a few experiences that were very, very stressful. And I actually just recently talked with the BHO.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which was cool. You know, I was kind of need some time to chew on it and, like, mm-hmm. what's actually going on. And she and I talked for 2 hours. And it was amazing. Got great perspective on it. It's like, yeah, that makes sense. You might be feeling that way. You're going to be fine.
Wow. So even throughout that time, you're still kind of just finding yourself in deployment.
Yeah. Even to this day, I was somebody pre-mob who would wake up 4:30 in the morning and go work out at the gym. And I have not done that at all. Like, I've gone maybe a handful of times in the morning, but I've actually gone more in the evenings, which is way more stressful, mm-hmm. which is so silly, right? It's almost like counterproductive because it's so much busier in the evenings. Now your days are late, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's still kind of hard to get moving in the morning.
Would you say finding this full-time position here in the 40th kind of helping you establish your
routine?
Mm-hmm.
And being around people that get it, as like, sounds kind of negative, right? Like, nobody outside the military, you know, mm-hmm. could understand us, but a lot of people have no idea what we do. You know, when I worked at Starbucks for a few months, they're like, so what do you guys do? Like, go and shoot things? You know what I mean? I'm like, really? I always try to take the time to explain, like, there's so much more.
Mm-hmm. It's a whole different world.
Whole different world. Mm-hmm. And there's actually a lot of similarities that they're not aware of. You know, they kind of think of us as like, you wear this uniform, so now you're just a soldier. It's like, well, that's one facet of what we do, but do you know why we do things or what we're actually doing in the Middle East? You know, I had a great opportunity to go to two different countries. One of them in particular, I got to go to Oman, and I got to see how leaders meet with other leaders, having tea together, you know, teaching them certain exercises,
shaking hands,
building relationships, and then seeing how some countries maybe don't want it. And that's fine. If they don't want it, so be it. But that you don't see that side, right? Like, you just see the over-weaponized military, you know, Call of Duty guys, you know?
How did you adapt into your leadership role? How would you explain it to somebody coming into terms to becoming an NCO?
I guess, what do you mean by adapt? Like, from specialist to sergeant?
An E5. Of course, a specialist is going to have responsibilities, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes down to being an E5, now you're becoming more of a mentor as well with your soldiers.
Sure. Right? I think,
because you had your soldiers there, right? You got to know them, things like that.
Yeah.
Was that natural for you, or?
Was it natural for me? I definitely made sure I read leadership books. I definitely read some leadership books out there. I sought out some mentors. Actually, they kind of found me, which is so cool. I told you how I read in the mornings. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny when you spend time consistently in one place, there's like-minded people, right? So it's like a natural way to kind of like pull in similar people. And there was a gentleman, Sergeant Alvidrez. Love that guy. He was a medic. He's a sergeant first class now. He just got promoted. But would see me.
With the 40th or?
Yeah. Well, actually, he's up north. So okay. He attached to us so he could mob, I think.
I see.
I actually don't know his story in that regard. But he saw me reading every morning. He's like, oh, what you reading? Whatever. And so we'd actually sit there for like 30 minutes and talk about some challenges I was facing and stuff he had experienced. So that was one way I adapted. But I think when you go from specialist to sergeant, I think it's important to know, and this maybe is just my personal opinion, right? But like, but to me, rank is a privilege, right? And it has its own function, right? But it doesn't make you above someone, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So like, yes, am I in charge of people? Absolutely, right? I had four guys, I need to make sure their gear's good, their well-being's good, you know, their needs before my own, right? The NCO creed. But at the same time, am I above them? Absolutely not. I'm serving with them. And so kind of having that mindset of like, I'm on the same team as them. They're not on a different team than me. You know, I wear this rank because I'm the essentially like the team leader, mm-hmm. right? Or squad leader. I think that was a big thing to always remember. And that's something I try to always remember is like, the ones that people gravitate towards as leaders are the ones that work with their team and not the ones that just say, I'm in charge of you. It's almost like that servant leadership, you know, that you're working for them. So I think the way I adapted in that way was just asking myself, Joel, what do you know about the 42 Alpha world? Okay, you know this much so far. Well, guess what? All these guys who I'm with, they might know something too. Just because I have more time doesn't mean they don't know anything. And so what I did with them is I said, what are your interests, right? So one guy loved awards. He loved to look at shiny things. So guess what I did? I said, you're going to be my awards guy. So what did he do? He read all the regulation on awards and would update me. Wow. And say, hey, I just learned this. And so I just kind of went, okay, well, I'm more the organized guy. Am I the subject matter expert in regulation? No, but he is. And so then another guy didn't like to do much of the reading. He liked to do more of like the actual work. So he did the work, right? And so it's just kind of like pulling your strengths in your people and giving them something to, you know how it is. Like if you're in a group of like a group project, hey, what do you like to do? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to force the guy who hates PowerPoints to build our PowerPoint. The last thing you want to do is over-challenge yourself,
right.
You know? Over time, yeah, you guys can cross-train, but for now, no way, man. I'm going to find what you're good at, and we're going to adapt together. And I'd say stuff like, can you help me? Hey, I'm thinking about this. What's your input? What do you think would work best? You know, instead of being like, this is my idea. Doesn't work that way. No one will respect you like that, in my opinion.
Right.
And I think if you read some leadership stuff too, time has told that that's common, that ask your people questions, you know?
Right on. In terms of now though, it's like, do you think things are getting better for you?
Yeah, I think doing my best there.
Sure.
But yeah, I think I'm trending up.
That's the only way
you can
go.
Ask me 2 months ago, heck no. I was not feeling so hot.
Well, like, it's great that you're talking to people and you're seeing, mm-hmm. you know, improvement on yourself and
yeah.
And you also have hobbies that
yes.
distract you, right?
Well, it's funny. I didn't do any of them when I got home for like 9 months.
Why is that? What were you saying?
It just didn't satisfy. It was weird. Or it felt like work. So that was another weird thing, right? Mm-hmm. Which you don't think would happen after deployment. You're like, cool, I finally get to go back and do everything I want. I didn't garden. I didn't do much of the gym. I was definitely very busy trying to find work. Now I'm starting to do those hobbies.
Right. And those distractions, what have you been doing?
I got back to fixing my yard up. I take my dog everywhere possible. He's my buddy.
What's his name?
Ranger.
Ranger.
Yeah.
What kind of dog is he?
He's a golden retriever. Oh. He's 4. I just took him to the vet. He got so fat. So the host family, he got up to 105 pounds.
Oh, jeez.
He's now 82 pounds. 23 pounds. He had a great time. He was very mad that he came back to my world. I was like, dude, you're like a giant pumpkin loaf. You know, you're huge.
Let's go out for a run, buddy.
Yeah, he couldn't even run. We used to hike all the time, and I'd take him half a mile, he'd be panting. So we worked at it. Good for him.
We got each other.
Yep, got him on a diet. He got me back in shape. I got him back in shape.
So. Wonderful. Man's best friend.
Yep, got a different membership at the gym, a different gym that's closer to home. So that's allowed me to be more consistent with that, too. And then now that the weather's good, you know, fixing up the yard, so.
There we go. What's one piece of advice you'd give someone coming back from a deployment? What they should be looking for?
Piece of advice?
Something that's worked for you.
Piece of advice, I can say what has helped me the most. I think I need to go back to my 3 non-negotiables every day. That'd probably be a good thing I would recommend for people. Is maybe just have a consistent routine, which can help you. And then the other piece of advice would be, the other half of it would be, keep those people you were close to on deployment even closer. I call one of my friends from deployment, who I met on deployment, every single day for at least an hour.
Gotta have conversations.
Yep, it's really fun. Actually, because we're like the only ones that understand.
Yeah, I mean,
day by day,
gotta talk it out, and that's what people don't understand. It's just, you know, we isolate ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good one. See, you should be giving the advice, not me.
No, Sergeant.
Yeah, you're over there all humble, asking me all the questions.
Listen, I'm getting the guidance from you right now, so I'm learning. No, but really, it's just. You know, that's what people need to do more, in my opinion. It's just talk things out. And it's working for you?
Yeah, I'd say so.
So, I mean, coming into the end, any last thoughts or messages you'd like to share to the public?
I think for the soldiers listening, the little things that you do every day matter. And the little things that you do that aren't recognized by your peers or your leadership, even though they're catered towards the team, those things do matter. And I think the more that we all have that mindset, I think you'll have some pretty strong teams, you know? And I remember Sergeant Major Juarez, he told me, he said, always take care of others and you'll end up being taken care of. And it's very true. You know, and having that mindset of just don't worry about if people don't like you or not. Just do your best, you know, and those things are very often done behind closed doors. And that would be my advice to soldiers. To anybody else who's listening, I would say to, if they feel compelled to invite a soldier over for dinner and just ask them what their experiences are. And they'll be amazed to find out how much they all have in common with each other. That's what I would say.
Perfectly said, Sergeant.
Not really.
I think so.
I appreciate it, but no, this is cool, man.
That'll be it for today. Thank you, guys.
Adios.